The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Good morning. So this morning, I thought I'd talk about a practice topic around the observation of our experience through this framework or lens of pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. This is an aspect of our experience which we often overlook as a quality to actually pay attention to, because mostly we're reacting to it. When something pleasant happens, we tend to like it, we tend to want it, we tend to try to keep it around, we try to construct our experience so that we have more of those pleasant experiences of the moment. When something's unpleasant, we tend to not like it, to want to get rid of it, to try to control it or fix it or change it, or to get ourselves out of the experience. If things are neutral, we tend to not necessarily even notice them. We disconnect, we get kind of spaced out, bored perhaps. So mostly with this experience of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, we don't actually notice that quality itself because we're so busy trying to arrange our world around this experience. It's kind of interesting that we don't actually notice it because it's kind of the driving force of how we do things. We're kind of like a little automaton, you know, we're trying to increase the pleasant moment experiences and get rid of the unpleasant experiences, and yet we're not really noticing the pleasant or unpleasant itself. We so quickly react to it. And the Buddha noticed this. He actually highlighted this place of the feeling, because everything, every part of our, every experience that we have, every physical experience, every mental experience, has a quality of being pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. There's one teaching where the Buddha says that all things converge on feeling. And it is from this place of feeling that we tend to react. And we tend to think, we think that we react to the things. You know, we some of us like certain things and don't like other things. You know, that some of us find, you know, a certain kind of food to be something that we like. And we think that it's the food that we like, but it's really, what we really like is the pleasantness that it generates in our experience. And so the Buddha recognized how the mind kind of narrows down to this very simple quality and then reacts to it. So in our experience, this, what you might call leaping off of this quality of pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, is really the source for the struggling that we do in our lives. It's the way that our difficulties are. It's kind of the prime root of where our difficulties come out of, is this reactivity to this pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. And the Buddha described this as the process of craving, of wanting, basically. Wanting pleasant, wanting to get rid of unpleasant, basically endlessly trying to construct our world so that it is the way we think it should be, as opposed to allowing ourselves to really settle in with the way that it is. So there's this aspect of the feeling, our experience. Every moment of experience has this quality of feeling tone. Sometimes we can call it feeling tone as opposed to feeling, because the term feeling in our culture is often used to mean the more general term of emotion. And this is more simple than that. Although emotions are tending to be born out of this quality. You know, when something is unpleasant and we don't like it, then feelings, emotions can easily come out of that. The emotions will arise out of that along the lines of aversion, irritation, annoyance, frustration, anger, hatred. All of those kinds of emotions can be born out of this simple feeling of something unpleasant, not liking it, and wanting to get rid of it. So a lot of our emotional life is born out of responses to pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. You know, when something is pleasant and we get it, we get something that we like, then sometimes there's that fear. A fear might be born out of that, that, well, I have it now, but what happens if somebody takes it away from me, or what happens if I lose it, or... So there's that kind of thing. Worry, anxiety can be born out of getting the things that we want. Frustration can be born out of losing things that we have. Anger, disappointment. Again, all of these emotions can be born out of that. And there is also the possibility, of course, that when we get something that we want, there's the emotion of happiness, of... And then perhaps the subsequent feelings of, I figured this out, I've got this right. This is the way things are supposed to be, a sense perhaps of pride. Or so again, most of our emotional lives come out of this quality, this pleasant, unpleasant, neutral quality. And the Buddha pointed to it as a very important place to pay attention, because it has this springboard-like quality. You know, everything in our experience has this quality, and we leap off of it with reactivity. So this aspect of feeling tone is used to describe this quality of experience, of whether something's pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And it's also used to describe a process in our minds by which we feel things. So this is part of this quality of feeling is part of the teaching on the five aggregates, which I touched on in the last few weeks, which are five, basically they're seen as five processes of how our mind and body are put together. And this feeling process is one of those processes. It's the process by which we recognize things to be pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And also perhaps the process by which pleasant, unpleasant, neutral comes to be in our experience. So I'll talk about both aspects of that today. And again, you know, anytime there's any questions, just raise your hand. This can be a conversation more than just a talk. So, so in the Buddhist teachings about mindfulness, there's one particular sutta that he gave instructions around mindfulness. I think I've mentioned it before in this class at some point, the four foundations of mindfulness. And there are four, these are four kind of ways that we can see our experience. They take in the range of our experience, but the Buddha suggests that these particular ways of looking at our experience are particularly helpful. And he says, you know, first of all, the foundation of the body, bringing your attention into the body. Then the second foundation is looking at this aspect of feeling. The third is looking at the state of mind, and that's where the exploration of emotions comes in. And the fourth is looking at experience essentially through the framework of some of these meditative teachings or some of these teachings that the Buddha offers. So that the fourth one is kind of interesting in that it is an exploration of our experience through some of the categories that the Buddha says are helpful to explore. For instance, exploring how the hindrances operate in our experience, how the enlightenment factors operate in our experience, how the Four Noble Truths operate in our experience. So that one is a little more complex than the other three. And it's kind of more about how relationships happen, and again, about the process of how our experience comes into being and falls apart. So I'm not going to go into those in detail, but I just wanted to give the framework or the context around this meditative teaching on feeling tone. So that you know that it's just one way of looking at experience. It's not the only way, but it is one way that is extremely helpful because of this tight connection between feeling and wanting. Essentially, the tight connection between the way something feels and this desire to either get more pleasant and get rid of more unpleasant. Because of that connection, it's a really helpful avenue of exploration. Because when we can start to actually recognize the feeling tone in our experience, when we can start to see this is a pleasant experience, this is an unpleasant experience, then we also start to see how that reactivity is created. And when we start to see the process nature of our experience, that does a couple things for us. First of all, the mind begins to see that this process is not automatic, actually. I mean, it kind of flows one thing to the next. Oh, there's something pleasant. I like that. I want that. But at the same time, seeing that process unfold, if you're watching it, you also see that there's choice in each of those movements, from pleasant to liking to wanting to the grasping onto it, the holding onto it. There's choice between the unpleasant, the not liking, the wanting to get rid of, the aversion, the anger. Those things happen in staged fashion. And when we can see that process unfolding, there's an opportunity for the mind to essentially choose not to go there. So this exploration around feeling begins to point out this process to us. And we start to see, the mind actually starts to see, that it is doing its own, it's contributing, that the mind starts to see how it contributes to its own difficulties. Does that make sense? Okay. So looking at feeling itself is kind of the first exploration of this teaching of mindfulness, the teaching in the in that sutta says something like, when one has a pleasant feeling, when one feels a pleasant feeling, one recognizes, I feel a pleasant feeling. When feeling an unpleasant feeling, one recognizes, I feel an unpleasant feeling. When feeling a neutral feeling, one recognizes, I feel a neutral feeling. So it's pretty basic instruction. So that's the kind of the ground of the exploration, is beginning to recognize this quality itself in experience as an object of our attention. And so beginning to look at this, getting familiar with this feeling tone itself. Because as I said, you know, a lot of the time in our day-to-day life, it's not so obvious to us. What's more obvious to us is, oh, this I like, this I don't like. This I want, this I don't want. That's where it surfaces into our mind. Yeah, Sophia. Oh, microphone, yeah.
So, in some of my work that I've done, my personal work in a lot of groups in the popular Psychology Today, they say, well, you know, actually there's, I don't know, 50 or 100 different types of feelings. You know, because people that are starting out with this, they may not even know when they're feeling just the four basic feelings. But so say you kind of graduated and you know, well, I know when I'm sad, and you know, you gradually find out I'm happy. You know, these are basic feelings, but there's so many other feelings. And I'm thinking, well, is this kind of like a waste of time to try to, it sounds like it might be from Buddha's perspective, and that it's really helpful to just boil all of it down and just notice, you know, is it pleasant, is it unpleasant, or is it neutral? And just to don't, I mean, because I find sometimes, you know, like when I was meditating, you know, then I started feeling like I was crying. So I was crying. And so I realized I was aware because I knew what I was thinking, and then I felt the feelings, and that, you know, grief was arising. So to me, it was helpful to note it, that that's what it was. It was helpful to me. And sometimes I feel, you know, whatever I'm feeling can be, it could be worse if I don't know, you know, what it is. So sometimes it's helpful for me to pinpoint it down. Well, this is anxiety. Anxiety is arising, you know. And then, you know, I think it's comforting to know what it is that you're feeling. So I don't know, you know, how helpful, or in this practice, you know, where that comes in to actually note exactly what it is you're feeling.
So the that's a good question. As I said, the teachings on the foundations of mindfulness includes more than just this aspect. So it includes the aspect of, you know, looking at the mind state. So the aspect, it is helpful at times to boil it down to pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, for this reason of the fact that the craving jumps off of it. He also talks about paying attention to the state of your mind, noticing whether there's aversion or non-aversion, noticing whether there's greed or non-greed, noticing whether there's sleepiness or non-sleepiness, contraction or non-contraction, distraction or not. He does tend to simplify in his discussion, but I have personally seen a value in that kind of being able to clearly identify an emotion, you know, and being able to distinguish one from another. So, for instance, at times I've misidentified an emotion based on context. So this is a slightly different topic, but I'll veer off on this for now. So, for instance, at one point on a retreat, I was waiting for an interview, and there was anxiety. I felt like there was anxiety. And that was a pretty common experience for me in that situation, to be on a three-month retreat. I spoke about every 3 days, and sitting waiting for the interview, anxiety was arising around what am I going to say, and etc. So that was a pretty common experience in that time, so it wasn't particularly surprising. But I was sitting there noting, you know, using the note anxiety, anxiety, and this particular interview went on for quite a long time. And so I got to watch this happening for quite a long time, and it didn't really change. And that was curious to me, because often when I can really meet an experience, it dissipates. And so I got a little curious, a little more curious, a little more in-depth looking at it. And actually what I did is I let go of looking at the mental state and actually got more interested in what's going on in the body and began noticing a quivering, a shaking kind of feeling. And at some point it became clear to me that it wasn't anxiety that was happening, it was rapture. That the state of rapture can produce some interesting physical phenomenon in the body, and that's what I was experiencing, was this physical phenomenon, the quivering, the trembling kind of feeling. And I had misidentified it as anxiety, partly because of the context of the situation. I was sitting there waiting for an interview. And when I recognized that it was rapture, not anxiety, it actually got more intense for a little while and lasted actually into the interview a little while. And then my teacher had me actually naming, noting, describing the sensations. And over time, it began to even out some. So clearly identifying the emotion. I mean, if you're misidentifying emotion, then there's probably some view operating that is obscuring what's actually happening. As in this case, there was the view operating, I must be anxious because I'm getting ready to talk to my teacher. So, you know, I'm not really connecting with the actuality of the experience. So I have found it is helpful to really recognize what's going on, you know, the kind of noticing the particularities of an emotion. I do find that helpful. But the, you know, this teaching around, and actually the whole Satipatthana Sutta, I think, does kind of point to how helpful it is to just look at things through particular frames of reference. So through this frame of reference of feeling, you know, to just recognize pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. Now, at times, though, and this is where the other foundations come in, it's not so easy to look at our experience through that lens. I mean, there's something more obvious going on, like, well, I'm really angry. You know, really angry feeling is happening. And we can kind of check in and recognize that there's some unpleasantness going on in there, but the feeling of anger is kind of the predominant thing. So this exploration, especially initially, you know, it can take a little bit of, you know, playing with, looking for this quality, as I did suggested in the guided meditation. You know, that initially we kind of need to actually check and see, is what I'm experiencing pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? As opposed to the kind of more, I guess, more pure way of working with mindfulness, which is just meeting what is obvious, meeting what is actually, you know, up front and center in our experience. That's kind of the bare instruction with mindfulness. We just meet what is obvious in our experience. But if we just only met what is obvious, you know, we would probably miss some of these things that, you know, they're not things that are in our field of attention. And actually, when we start to get familiar with this feeling tone, when we start to get familiar with pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, it's more obvious than we think. I mean, it's a subtle quality in some ways, but when you start to key into it, you know, for instance, if you're eating something that you like, it's pretty obvious the pleasantness that comes along with that. Or if you're in a situation that creates some kind of anxiety, it's pretty clear that there's an unpleasant experience happening along with the emotional state of anxiety. So it's kind of just beginning to tune into this aspect of experience.
Where is the pleasantness, unpleasantness, or neutral? Where do you find that?
So that's a good question, and that's actually a piece that I wanted to explore. It is said to be a mental quality. So it's a mental experience. And yet, there are... The easiest way to begin to explore this pleasant, unpleasant, particularly pleasant and unpleasant, is in bodily touch sensation. And it feels like, in fact, you know, if there's some pleasant experience in the body, it feels like it's happening on the body. You know, it doesn't necessarily feel like it's happening up here. But, you know, thinking about the nerves being distributed, the nervous system being distributed. So this is another, there's going to be a long answer to your question, and then I'll check back with you and see whether you have any more questions about it. So in terms of beginning this exploration around feeling, the easiest place to begin it is through touch sensation, because the touch receptors of the body are really designed to recognize the pleasant, unpleasant distinction. The pain, I think there are probably some nerves that are tuned to pain, in fact. So the feeling feels like it's happening in the body, that unpleasantness in touch sensation. If you cut yourself, for example, or burn yourself, like I did recently, you know, it feels like it's happening in that area. And the Buddha actually talked about a distinction, another distinction along the lines of feeling, of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral feeling. He said, there were many ways he talked about this. He said, well, there are times when I've talked about two kinds of feeling, and there's times when I've talked about three kinds of feeling, there's times when I've talked about six kinds of feeling, and, you know, 18 kinds of feeling. And so he really explored this in many different ways. And there's just a couple that I find particularly interesting that I'm going to try talking about today. This one about pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. And then there's a way that he divided it in terms of bodily experience, bodily feeling, and mental feeling. So there's the pleasant, unpleasant, neutral aspect of the touch sensation in the body. And then there is the pleasant, unpleasant, neutral aspect that we feel in our minds. So the unpleasantness of a cut, for example, or the pleasantness of the kind of a soft silk cloth brushing across your skin. That's a different kind of feeling in a way than the pleasantness of ease of mind, when the mind is relaxed, or the unpleasantness of agitation in the mind. So there's some different ways that feeling is felt that way. So there's this mental, physical aspect of the feeling. And sometimes, you know, in saying there's physical feeling and mental feeling, people think of the physical feeling as being part of paying attention to body. But it's still thought of as being part of the mental process, the mental process of feeling. So does that help a little bit, or is there more in your question along those lines?
I can see that in extreme cases, like eating something delicious or something that's, you know, obviously in a warm bath, or being pinched, but most of the time, like I asked you that question and I felt some anxiety and about bringing that up, and was that pleasant or unpleasant in my body? I don't know. It just was there. And so most of the time I just experience just a there-ness. Mm-hmm. And I can't really say that. I guess I could identify a pinch as unpleasant. Or certain, more extreme situations. But maybe I'm not subtle enough in my perception.
Well, it can take some time to get familiar with the quality. And it's most obvious on the extremes. There is kind of a range, a gradation from, you know, really unpleasant, from like burning yourself on the the coil in the oven, pretty unpleasant, to just, you know, a little pinch being just mildly unpleasant. You know, and then again, on the side of physical pleasantness, there's a range. It's not just simply, you know, three valences. There's that range, both in physical and mental experience. And so there can be, in the mental side of things as well, there can be, you know, if you're angry, and you check into that, you know, the quality of the mind is usually pretty unpleasant, as well as that feeling of anger then impacting the body and producing some unpleasant tightness, tension, contraction physically. So there's those two sides of it. There's the mental, like, agitation, and that unpleasantness of the mental disturbance or agitation is... it's not so clear until it goes away, and then you can see that unpleasantness more clearly, in a way. Because, you know, we live our lives in a state of disturbance and agitation, so it's, you know, it's not so obvious to us that it is unpleasant, in a way. And then if you begin to sit down in meditation and begin to experience some places and times where the mind lets go of that agitation, it's like, wow, that's pleasant. We begin to see that's pleasant. And in contrast, we see when the mind starts to, you know, run around and try to figure things out and fix things, that's an unpleasant state of mind. So it can take some time to really feel that. And in terms of, I think the original question was something along where do you feel it? Well, as you know, emotions in feeling the physicality of emotions, which will have a pleasant, unpleasant, neutral quality to them, often those are felt in here, you know, and actually this area, you know, the parasympathetic nervous system in this area is very responsive. And I think this is where we feel a lot of our emotions. And so it's like a really, you know, it's a gray divide area. Is that mental? Is that physical? It's hard to say. But definitely, you know, there are contractions, tightnesses, tensions, holdings that are physical that we experience. So, you know, in our physical body, emotionally, we do experience some of that feeling in this area. The pure mental feeling, you know, we think of it up here. We think of it as residing up here. But it doesn't really have a location. But, you know, that's just something to let sit in the mind and don't worry about it. Just notice what you're noticing about the feeling. So you noticed a little bit of feeling of anxiety. You couldn't really identify it pleasant, unpleasant, but you did notice a sensation in here. And that's great. I mean, that's the beginning. And if you can kind of just check in with this exploration around pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, at the beginning, it's kind of checking in. Okay, well, is that pleasant, unpleasant, neutral? I don't know. That's enough at that point. You don't need to try to actually slot it into one of those categories. And it's enough to kind of check in. And over time, with that checking in, it will be the gradations will become more clear. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and next to you.
Thank you. Sometimes it doesn't seem like, for me at this point, just noticing whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, because I think I've lived most of my life not in touch with my feelings, and I would like to get more specific. For instance, I have a daughter who's doing a lot of personal work, and then she shares with me the relationship with me and my mother, and I lost very early in life, and then brings in a little other things, and my response is almost, I always, isn't that interesting? And that's not, she's not, she wants more than that from me. And I, that just seems the thing I say. Uh-huh. And so as you're talking today, I'm thinking intimacy comes, I believe, through sharing of feelings, not what's so much going on up here. So I don't know what my feelings are other than, and I want to have that intimacy at that level, and she obviously wants it. So saying it's pleasant or unpleasant isn't enough for me.
Uh-huh. Well, again, as I said, this is just one avenue of exploration. So I'm hearing a couple of people in this, you know, that it's kind of, because it's close in terms of the words and in terms of where feelings lead to the emotions, I'm hearing an interest in a little bit of exploration of that side of things. Since we only have 20 minutes left today, what I think I'll do is I'll have that be the topic for next week. So, you know, let's explore that third foundation of mindfulness next week. And just see what more we can learn with respect to the feeling today. And you may, by the end of the day, have a little more appreciation of where it might be helpful. So a few more things, and for me, again, this is a it's an exploration. And to begin with, it's helpful to start this process of trying to identify experience as pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Was this doable in the guided meditation? Was that so? Yes, yes. A few nods. No, there was a no. Okay. So, you know, you might play with a good place to play with this actually is when you're eating. So, you know, sit down for a meal sometime and think about, okay, I'm going to explore this pleasant, unpleasant, neutral aspect of experience. And when you're eating, there's all the six senses are engaged. So, you know, putting something in your mouth, there's not only the taste of it, but there's the texture and the coolness and the heat. There's the, you know, the way it the textures get mixed together and the tastes get mixed together as you chew it up. You know, there's the sound that happens as we chew. There's the thoughts we have around the food. So there's everything. There's the seeing of it. So, you know, if you have a plate of food in front of you, you know, the first thing is just looking at it. Are there things about it that you find pleasant to observe, to look at, things you find unpleasant to look at? And then in the eating, you know, are there flavors that are pleasant, flavors that are unpleasant? And how long, one good thing to play with is like putting some food into your mouth, particularly some food that you know that you like. Really explore, when does the pleasant quality actually appear? You know, because if it's a piece of chocolate, for instance, you know, a piece of hard chocolate, when you first put it into your mouth, pretty much all there is the hardness and the, you know, you have to start chewing it up before the flavor starts to appear. And it can take some time, actually. So noticing that and then noticing the, you know, kind of the peaking of that, and then when does it disappear? You know, when does it kind of, chocolate actually lingers for a while. You know, it's got some qualities to it that have it linger on the taste buds. So just playing with the exploration of it through this lens of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, seeing if you can get familiar, a little bit familiar with this quality. So in the physical realm is a good place to do this. In sitting, another good one to do this with in sitting, I mean, you can work with it with pain, but I don't want to, you know, encourage people to sit long with a really painful experience. But if it's a mild pain, you could explore the pleasant unpleasantness of it. An itch is a good one to explore pleasant unpleasant. Usually it feels pretty unpleasant. But it can actually, the interesting thing about this exploration is that as the mind begins to settle in to this feeling of pleasant, unpleasant, so for instance with an itch, I've spent a lot of time observing itches, you know, it seems to come down at most of the time when I get down to just being right there for an itch, it gets down to like almost a single cell, you know, it's like, you know, it's like just this little tiny point, and it's an on-off kind of vibration, intense vibration that happens. And while there's the view that there's an itch, it's unpleasant. And yet when it comes down to just that on-off, it becomes just more intense sensation. It doesn't. It becomes more neutral in a way. That we start to see how that quality of unpleasantness is a mental experience, that it is really filtered through the mind, because the it can just be like vibration. It's just that vibrating quality, and it's not that intensity of I got to do something about this. So that kind of exploration can also be interesting. It can also be interesting to explore this aspect of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral when you're finding that there's reactivity in your experience. So if you are emotional about something, if there's either strong happiness, excitement, or some kind of strong anger, aversion, there's often a feeling tone in there that is being responded to. And if you can catch the liking, not liking also, there's usually some pleasantness, unpleasantness in there. So one of my teachers, and this was a great exploration for me, one of my teachers says, if you're experiencing aversion, there's something unpleasant happening to you. So kind of check it out, you know. What is the unpleasantness that's happening? It might be something happening in the mind, or it might be something happening in the physical realm. So an example of this kind of exploration I did on one retreat, having heard that instruction, you know, having heard that, if you're experiencing aversion, there's something unpleasant happening in your experience. I was noticing on one walking that, you know, I was doing the walking meditation, and then somebody came up walking right next to me, and there was just this strong rising of aversion that happened. And I remembered her instruction, okay, so there's something unpleasant. And it's like, okay, well, let's see if we can find the unpleasant. And I kind of did a systematic exploration of the sense doors. So seeing, is the person unpleasant to see? Is there anything unpleasant in the visual field? And the person wasn't like, you know, doing anything funny or, you know, distracting me in any way. They were just walking. They weren't wearing any clothes or anything that was ugly to my eyes. So, you know, seeing didn't seem to be the place where the unpleasantness was. Hearing, they weren't making much noise, so that wasn't it. There was no physical contact, so it wasn't touch. Taste and smell were not an issue, so I kind of ruled out the physical sense doors. Okay, well, there must be something going on in the mind. That's what I realized. But I didn't see anything that was unpleasant in the mind at that moment. I mean, there was the aversion itself, but, you know, there wasn't anything else that I could really identify. But I just kind of thought, well, there must be something going on. So I just kind of kept doing the walking. And at some point, there's this thought that appeared in my mind, he's weird. And I thought, well, that's an interesting, you know, phenomenon. And a few moments later, and I could see that there was an unpleasantness, you know, there's a little bit of unpleasantness around that thought, probably a little bit of fear arising around that thought. And then a couple of moments later, the thought arose, he's in bare feet and it's freezing cold, came up. And that point, it was kind of like, I saw that was kind of my justification for why I thought this person was weird. And I could see that this was just like a construct of the mind. I could see that the mind was reacting to its thoughts, that it was the thoughts that were being experienced as unpleasant. So this kind of exploration can be very interesting to play with. There's something else I wanted to talk about. Ah, yes. There is, I think it's in the Buddhist teachings on Buddhist psychology, which is in the main body of central work of the Buddhist texts, but it might be in the commentaries, but I think it's in the main body of texts in the Buddhist psychology, that they teach that in terms of the physical realm, in terms of the physical sense bases, seeing, smelling, hearing, tasting, touching, that only the physical touch has the possibility of inherently being pleasant or unpleasant. And that sight, sound, smell, taste are inherently neutral. So if we're experiencing something that we're seeing, a rose, for example, and we think of that as pleasant, we experience that as pleasant, that it's not actually the visual itself that's pleasant. It's something happening in our minds. So it's an idea, it's a construction in the mind that is what we think of as pleasant or unpleasant, not the actual visual experience. So this is a very interesting teaching and I find it to be an interesting exploration. I don't know that I completely believe it, particularly around taste. I think there may be tastes that we don't like because they're not good for our body. But in any case, I find it to be a very interesting exploration, and have found, you know, when I do this kind of thing that, you know, mostly it is something in the mind. So for instance, another example, let's see, I've got a couple examples I've used. Okay, so here's a good one. I'll use this other one. This is actually a clearer example. One night I was having trouble sleeping, and I got up to when I have trouble sleeping, I often meditate. So I got up to meditate, and I was sitting in meditation and began to hear this tapping sound, a really kind of quiet. It was pretty quiet, you know, just like that kind of sound. And my initial experience was that it was unpleasant. That was kind of the take on it. You know, this is an unpleasant experience. And as I hung out with the experience, you know, it came and went, and when it came back, at one point I noticed that there was fear that came up when that tapping sound came up. And the fear was definitely unpleasant. I could really clearly experienced the unpleasantness of that fear. And as I sat with that fear, you know, that feeling of fear, and just hung out with it, and it dissipated, the next time the tapping came up, it was a neutral experience. You know, it did, it was, it was just, you know, it was just sound. It wasn't inherent in the sound that it was unpleasant. It was because of the reaction that it had created that the mind had then imputed that unpleasantness to the sound itself. This kind of thing happens to us a lot, that we have some reaction, and then because of that reaction, our world becomes colored by that, and we take in experience. You know, if we've got an aversive lens, we take in experience through that lens, and it becomes more unpleasant. Or if we have the opposite side, you know, if we're excited about something, you know, sometimes that all we see are the pleasant things. So in this case, this was through the ear door, you know, just this kind of tapping sound, and it was a neutral experience, and it was pretty clear that the imputation of it being unpleasant had come because of fear that had arisen, which was an unpleasant experience. Did you have a question? No. Okay. One other piece I'll just say about this. My understanding about, for instance, like looking at the sun and having that be painful, or being in a place where there's extremely loud noise and having that be painful, those are not... those are touch sensation. You know, that you can have a sound that's loud enough to physically break your eardrum. That's touch. The vibration is actually contacting the physicality. And likewise with the eye looking at the sun, you know, it's actually burning the retina. So it's, again, it's touch. So just the pure pitch and tone is said to be neutral. Just the pure form and color of the visual field is said to be neutral. It's our perception of what they are and our ideas about them that make them seem pleasant or unpleasant. And so, you know, I don't tell you this so that you can then strip the pleasant unpleasantness out of your sense experience, but mostly to encourage an exploration around, oh, I really like that rose, and what's going on in the mind, you know, to kind of encourage an exploration of the mental realm around that pleasantness. To not try to say, oh, that rose, well, it's, you know, to not try to lay on this teaching around neutrality, to take in, you know, the taste that you find pleasant or unpleasant, the sights that you find pleasant or unpleasant, and also to recognize that there is probably some view, belief, operating in the background that is coloring things and creating some of that pleasantness. So I've got just a couple minutes. Why don't we see if there's a... Yeah. Uh-huh. Do you have the mic, Sophia? Oh, no, here it is. Okay.
Is there anything in this conversation to be thinking about with the neutral?
If I had more time, I'd talk a lot more about neutral. What could I say in a few moments? One of the interesting things about neutral is there's a couple of interesting things. One is that we tend to not connect with it so much. We space out. We don't notice it. And so if you find yourself spaced out, if you find yourself disconnected, it might be interesting to check in, is there something neutral going on? That is just not catching the attention. The other thing that I find very interesting around observing neutrality is that it seems to be, at least in my experience, it seems to be a place where when we're in a neutral state, when we're experiencing things as neutral. What seems to happen is that the mind, because it doesn't have much coming in from the pleasant, unpleasant to respond to, it tends to move into its familiar habitual patterns. So a brief example around this. On one retreat, I was in a place where I was seeing things pretty neutral. You know, I was kind of recognizing that neutrality, and I began seeing that there were two aspects when I lost touch of the neutrality itself. Either I would want to lean into it because I was thinking, oh, something must be going to happen. You know, it's kind of like things are neutral. You know, and things when things get really neutral in a meditative space, it can often mean that equanimity is very close at hand. And when equanimity is close at hand, it can mean insight will be apparent. And so, you know, there can be, when things become neutral, when you get familiar with that neutral space, you can kind of start going, oh, something good. You know, so it kind of gets to be this little little bit of excitement that happens. And that just, you know, flips you out of that neutrality, flips you out of that equanimity because you're into craving. And also I've seen when that neutrality goes unnoticed that the mind can move into its familiar patterns again from this same retreat. When I noticed that it was pretty neutral and there was this kind of expectation and then nothing happened, the mind went to, you're a failure. Pretty much out of nothing, you know? It's like neutral experience. You're a failure. This is a pretty strong habit in my own mind. I'm not saying this is what you would see, but this is one of my own strong patterns. And so I think what happens in neutrality is that the mind, you know, in the absence of stimulation, just finds its familiar places to go. And so that's another thing to kind of observe around neutrality. And there's a lot more to say about neutrality. Maybe what I'll do next week, we can explore the exploration of the feelings, the emotions, and then in a few weeks come back to this exploration of the pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. So I think it's true that, you know, we come to experience through what's obvious, and most obvious tends to be this, you know, this emotional layer. And under that is this layer of liking, not liking. And under that is this layer of pleasant, unpleasant. So, you know, the more obvious coming in from the emotional side may be the more obvious way to get at this. But play with it some this week and see what you discover. So thank you all.